Hello, this is the first Freelance Up North podcast running collaboration with Freelance Folk and Zifferblatt. I'd like to introduce Katie. Katie is the founder of Freelance Folk, a network of freelancers around the North, and she also runs The Wheel Exists, which is a Squarespace web design company working with startups and charities.
Thank you, Ben. And Ben is he's the head of marketing at Zifferblatt, which is the wonderful co-working and community space that I hold Freelance Folk co-working sessions at. So basically, he spends most of his days going on the internet.
On Twitter. So the aim of this podcast is to give the freelance community in the North a platform to share the stories, knowledge, and tips and tricks. Everyone knows it's easy to screw up when you freelance, so we'll be looking at the good and the bad, and the good, the bad, and the ugly of being freelance.
And Ben also used to be a freelancer, and so he has an interesting perspective on the life of a freelancer, but also coming from an organisation that supports freelancers when they're needing a place to work from, and supporting a lot of the events that we run, like Freelance Folk. And from my perspective, I know that from Freelance Folk, there's a lot of people who are just starting out as freelancers, and we want to help to support them and give insights into what it's really like being freelance, and hear some top tips from people who are doing it. So we're going to start with our first guest, who's Sara Banaisa, and she is the owner of Fresh Ink, she's a freelance writer, and she works on web copy, think pieces and blog posts, and she's especially interested in talking about social issues, technology, and anything around sustainability and urban technology and yes. Equality. So I'm going to let Sara introduce. I'm going to leave a pause. It's Ben's fault. It's Ben. I know that she's called Sara. Yeah, exactly. She's called Sara. So I'm going to let Sara introduce herself a little bit more, and then we'll carry on and ask her for some of her top freelance tips.
Oh God. it's kind of, you basically summed it up quite well, but I guess I specialise in content, which is also quite a new concept which people don't really understand. So it's copywriting, communications, blogging, anything where you write and get paid to do it. like you said, I really enjoy writing about social movements, modern urban human mindsets and how that can change. So whether that's with technology or how people interrelate, economy, whatever. So like, I really like writing about that. I write a lot of communications, so I'm, I guess you would say, a journalist, but for clients. And creatively, I really like writing poetry. I know Ben does as well, and we've talked about spoken word quite a lot, but I've not yet done spoken word, which I'd love to do. And I've recently started doing screenwriting, so that's quite exciting.
Amazing.
Yes.
So you basically help clients who maybe struggle to articulate what they do,
help to explain
way that's really effective.
I guess above content is branding. Yeah. So it's all about perspectives and how to strengthen their message. So often I'll have a chat with a client and they'll say, well, I want to do this and this. And then I ask them the right questions for them to get there. And then I write around it.
So we've prepared a list of questions that we're going to ask all of our guests each week. So for starters, what good events do you go to that you'd suggest or recommend?
Freelance events. So this is not very neutral, but Freelance Folk. it truly really helped me. It was the first freelance networking event that I went to. In my first year, I felt very isolated, which I know not a lot of freelancers do. I felt like I needed someone to bounce off or just to ask questions and to confirm if I was doing the right thing, which Freelance Folk provided. I also got a client out of it, which was really
And actually, Sara came along to the first time you came along was when we had our Christmas party,
yes.
And we were all playing Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, because I was like, I just want to go to something.
And she still came back, even after that, so that was great.
Yeah, because I think I realised how nice you were. I think a lot of people are scared that they'll be judged or that they're really... at the beginning of a journey, and you know, I thought maybe you'd all be like these like really trendy, cool freelancers.
Oh
no! I'm not saying you were. I'm saying you were also very friendly, which I didn't think you would be, but I was scared. That's why I went to the first Christmas thing, because I thought maybe people would be drunk and it wouldn't matter. another networking event that I really like is Yena Global. So they specialise in youth, I don't know if you can call this, youth networking in a way. So it's for people that are under 35. So what I really like about it is it's a lot more...
36.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think they would be like, don't get... I'm kind of in two minds about it because it's a shame that people that are 36 and that are young, you know? But I'm sure it doesn't matter. And when I said 35, maybe that's not... Maybe if Ash sees this, he'll be like, don't say this to my wife. But young professionals. And what I really like about it is that it's quite chilled, like yours, and they do a lot of mentoring, which is really important. So sometimes you can go to these steering workshops where you can ask questions to other freelancers and they help you out. So I really like that. On the national, well, Jana's global, and they're in every city. On a national level, IPSI, Business Growth Hub, UKTI, which is for bigger companies really, but still really important. And you can go to a lot of their free workshops.
So IPSI is the Association for People Who Are Self-Employed, which says Independent Professionals and Self-Employed, and UKTI is UK Trade and Import?
Investments? It's now DIT.
Has it changed?
Change names every year to keep it fresh. The Business Growth Hub are a government-funded business support service that are based in Manchester, but they're brilliant. They've helped Sofa Blacks so much, and they host a lot of events here. I know what you mean about some of the events. There are so many bad networking events.
That's the thing, and it puts you off.
Yeah, and they're so intense, and it's like 52 card pickup where people are just flying around, shoving a business card in your face, and just trying to play numbers, and it gets quite disheartening.
And you just need one person to really make you feel like shit.
Yeah, never go again. Agreed.
Which is a shame because there's so many nice people out there. And I think sometimes just being really open and admitting like this was hard for me too, it really helps and it makes people come back, which I think you do really well actually.
I'm always saying how hard everything is. Woe is me.
You're quite honest.
One night that I think we should probably give a bit of a plug to is that night that recently started over in 2022 as well. The
fuck-up nights.
Where they basically go through startups and creatives and freelancers and people get up and say their worst ever decision or business choice or whatever, and there's kind of like a celebration in failure.
And
it means that all the 20 people who are in there listening to you won't screw that up as well, which is nice, you know.
I think it starts you being really harsh on yourself as well, how am I not here yet, how have I not done this, because everyone goes through it, everyone has failures and everyone learns from them, and it's part of being human and pushing yourself to higher opportunities.
I think it was really constructive. So we've just come from a talk from the Northern Creative Collective in Sofa Blacks for International Women's Day, which was talking about the gender pay gap for freelance women. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came out of that, which was really interesting, was everyone kind of, and right at the end it came in, the whole imposter syndrome thing. But actually, you know, as you are every person in a business when you're freelance, your HR, your ops, your marketing, your CEO, your finance, so you've got to keep your mental state relatively, so you know, stable position, or but at least let yourself fail.
Let yourself off the hook.
Don't beat yourself up.
And that's hugely linked for me to burnout. I think burnout's a massive issue with freelancers, because you don't know when to stop, or you don't know when to be stop being harsh on yourself. If you know one day you can't be bothered and you don't want to do it because you're overworking on other days, and there's a real fine balance between the whole imposter syndrome, knowing that you're good enough, and also knowing when to stop and knowing when to concentrate on things over other things. I mean, it's quite hard.
Prioritising, especially when you don't have a day with structure like you would have if you were employed, is definitely, I think, something people struggle with.
It's so hard to get used to that, the whole getting up the 9 to 5, 5 days a week thing.
Yeah.
That's really hard. You know, sometimes I work at weekends, sometimes I don't work in the middle of the day. It changes, and you have to get used to that. It's project-based.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, though, isn't it? I remember when I was freelance, I used to work in events, and 9 to 5 doesn't exist. And you could quite comfortably work every hour if you wanted to, but you have to. I found that I was working when you pass work past 7-8 o'clock at night, you know, and you've done a full day's work. Actually, your brain won't switch off.
Yeah.
You need like 3 or 4
yes.
hours
yeah.
to let your
yeah.
brain go and just shut down.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're in bed and your brain's
I've
still
flying. I've actually had insomnia because of it.
Yeah, same.
Because I'm a natural night owl as well. So yeah, I tend to work in the evenings and I have to make sure that I stop myself before it's actually time to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Because otherwise my brain's still worrying and thinking about work. Not even in a negative or stressed way, but just thinking.
We find it quite interesting because we're, for example, the branch that we've got in the Northern Quarter, we're open 8 till 10, and we obviously have regulars there, and you learn people's working patterns because obviously we sit in there and we see, you know, some people are early birds and they're in there at 8 o'clock and they're working from 8 o'clock, but they'll be off by 4 or 5, you know, and then you get some people who will come in sort of late morning, but they'll work comfortably until 8 o'clock at night.
Mm.
So it's interesting that different people have the different, and then there's some people who are insane, who get and leave at 8, and then
they're
you get,
really
then
making
you get
the most out of your day cat.
Yeah. And then you get, you know, the odd lazy freelancer who's in at 11 and leaving at 2.
Mm.
But, you know, you have to learn your own working patterns a little bit.
That's the thing, what is brilliant about freelancing is that you actually finally get to learn your own work pattern, because that's something that really surprised me. I thought I knew it. And then when I started freelancing, I was doing the old employee work pattern, and I just realised it didn't work for me. Like, I'm a late person like you, so my best working times are late morning, and I kind of have a gap in the middle of the day, and then I carry on.
Yeah.
That's how it works for me, and I just didn't know that before. I thought I work well in, like, right in the early morning, but then I realised actually what I did in my old employees, and I hope they're not watching, but it was that I probably didn't do anything for the first hour, just like really lazy emails or something like that, which you can't do when you run a business. You have to be serious about it.
With copywriting, because some of marketing role obviously is copywriting, and I find it, I wonder within specifically your profession, I find some days I just can't get it.
And I then go,
right, today I'm not going to do any writing. Mm. I'm going to do all those other bits that I don't need to do. And then tomorrow, you know, hopefully you'll have a good writing day. And you'll nail loads of stuff really quickly. And I could imagine that when copywriting is your profession, that writer's block day must be really problematic.
The thing is, thank you for saying that, because that's literally one of my things that I really still can't quite grasp, because there's days that I don't want to write, especially creatively, and I have deadlines, so I can't just, you know, it's not like the like the Parisian poets that, you know, live and work and write poetry and drink wine. It's not really like that anymore. You have to work to deadlines, so sometimes I just have to push myself, but then my work's not as good. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
So what I've tried to do now is understand my what's happening just in my private life and whether that's going to affect it. So if I'm quite stressed about something, I know I won't be able to write very well, so maybe I'll push it back to the Friday instead of doing it 2 days before the deadline, or vice versa.
Sure.
I think that's the only way I've found to deal with it.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I think writer's block is like a self-proclamation. You know, you think I have writer's block, so I can't write. So sometimes I just sit there and start writing. Actually, can I swear on this?
I think we have.
Are we allowed to swear?
We are now. It's our podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh God, my mum wants to actually listen to this.
We'll do a radio version.
Yeah.
God, I need to, like, that's actually really scary. Maybe I'll do it for clients. what was I about to say? So I feel like, I don't know what I was saying then.
Writer's block and it's self-perpetuating.
Yes. So sometimes I find just sitting there and writing something that's really rubbish, but then carrying on and editing. Editing is actually the king or queen of copywriting, really.
Sure.
It's not actually the base copy. I found that's really good on a commercial side of things. But my really creative work that I don't do for clients, sometimes I won't touch it for 2 weeks because I'm not in that state, so it's quite hard.
So Sarah, you've mentioned kind of some of the events that you've gone to.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any useful networks that you're a part of, or Facebook groups or anything like that, that is really kind of good for freelancers?
Yeah, there's WeBlog North, which is good for copywriters or bloggers. I find that really useful. They do a lot of like live videos, they post job positions, they do a lot of networking for bloggers and writers, so that's really good. That's something up north. freelance folk.
Plugging.
I know. Yana as well. There's I've actually written it down there. Startacus is really good for startups. They post up a lot of funding information for small businesses. The Dots, which is like a creative platform that sends out job applications, so it's quite a job post. Sorry.
Join the Dots.
No, it's called The Dots.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, so it's quite good for creatives. And I found on there, what's really good about it is you follow companies. So for example, if you follow the BBC, you'll get notifications of the type of jobs you're looking for in that company.
Right.
So that I found that quite good.
Okay.
Cool.
In terms of now, all good freelancers obviously spend their lives on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone that you'd recommend following? Any accounts you particularly like?
I should have actually prepared this a bit more.
Instagram.
Twitter. It's not really a person. It's more a magazine. I really like the Paris Review.
Mm.
Again, this is for copywriters. I just think they. They're really inspiring because it's all like the successful writers that are published, seriously published in magazines and newspapers, and they do a lot of really great quotes, and I like following that side of things. The Dots again, WeBlog North is again really good on social media. I follow a lot of food posts, food bloggers, which has nothing to do with what I do. So I follow all the kind of what's happening around Manchester, which strangely sometimes I find jobs through as well, you know, like if they're looking for content writers to do some sort of to do some sort
and
of
I think
project.
That's quite common as a freelancer that if you're interested in something then you have that natural passion for it, and I think
exactly.
It can then end up with work.
I undeniably when I was freelance would find work because people meet you and they connect with you because you're not trying to force an interest in their background.
Yeah.
You have an interest and almost an active part within that community. Mm. So they want to talk to you, and it felt almost like cheating.
Yeah.
Because you kind of felt like you had an unfair advantage because you would have read a food blog anyway of your own accord.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I feel like as well about the whole local thing, when you start to meet people, for example, in freelance folk, I found that quite a good network online as well. So that, you know, we're quite supportive, we retweet each other. And then you get to network with even more people, and then that kind of creates almost, not a bubble, but you know, like a...
little ecosystem.
An
almost.
Ecosystem that pushes you a bit
above.
So that I would recommend as well. When you meet people, follow them online.
One thing that I'm interested in the type of freelancing that I used to do, it was very localized. So typically you would be, you know, the closer the business was to you physically, the more likely I was to get work from them.
Mm.
Whereas with copywriting, you could work for someone in Aberdeen, Southampton, Cardiff.
So
for me, maintaining a localized network was really important.
Mm.
But for you, you can work anywhere.
You
can
anywhere,
be a digital nomad if you like. You can live in Bali.
I actually signed myself as a digital nomad for a while, but seeing as I'm so much based in Manchester, it's kind of just why. But no, I could potentially move anywhere. So yeah.
Sure.
And I work with international clients, actually. I work a lot with French clients.
Sure.
And the majority of my clients aren't based in Manchester. I have one client in Manchester. So yeah, definitely. But what I really like about the local networking is things like this podcast. I would never have done it if I wouldn't have met you two. So that's where it's good. Mm. It's for your own brand, almost, your self-promotion, which will naturally navigate you to more opportunities.
Yeah.
The international side of things is probably better online because you can't go to every single country and be like, hi. So yeah, that's really good online. And again, it's kind of networking. So you've met someone and you send them an email, you know, to see how they are, see if they've got other job opportunities. And that's how I found work personally.
Do you think networking is something that came naturally to you? Because I think sometimes as a freelancer, it can be difficult because you see a lot of groups like BNI, which I personally am not a fan of, but you know, they work for some people because if you're a one-man band and you've only you don't have any marketing budget and you it's not necessarily something that comes naturally to you're good at your job but you're not very good at marketing. How did you navigate, you know, did network coming natural to you? How do you you know, this sort of content that we're creating now, do you kind of just do the things that feel right and hope for the best, or is there sort of a
I think, I know there's some people that are good at networking, but I honestly think, like, is anyone naturally good at it? I think it's something that people learn as a skill. I was saying to someone at the International Women's Day talk that everyone doesn't really know what they're talking about or a bit scared about how they're perceived, and once you understand that, that's when it gets a lot easier.
We're all winging it.
Exactly. Make it until you make it. So that, yeah, that's until you realise that, I think networking will always be hard for someone who's maybe shyer or more, you know, introverted. Yeah. I guess my top tip for networking would be that, to understand that everyone's kind of in the same boat, and also as a marketeer, I've always been used to talking to people because I've had to do it. Mm. But it's very important as a freelancer to be out there, even if it's not networking necessarily, it's just talking to people.
Again,
I don't really like the term networking. No, I think it's quite old fashioned.
No, same.
Just talking to people and then seeing if you can collaborate or not, kind of thing.
And you mentioned the kind of digital nomad lifestyle and everything else. Yeah. Have you got any kind of particular tools or apps that you find really help with freelancing, whether it's helping you work remotely or just helping you with your kind of day-to-day freelancing?
Just before you mentioned, it's really good to time your work so you can see how productive you are. Something I've recently discovered, and I know I'm a bit late to the game, but Toggle.
Yeah. Love Toggle.
I've not heard of Toggle.
It's a time tracker, so it's TOGGL, Toggle.
Yes. So it's a time tracker, and you can basically separate it per project and what you're doing within that project, and then it graphs it over the week and even over the month. So then you can see how productive you are, and for an invoice, when you have to invoice, that's brilliant because you can see how much, if you're charging hourly, then you know how much you, or if you're, as you said before, if you're charging for, say, a day rate for something and you're doing actually a day and a half and you're not realising, then you can adjust your fees. Mm. And for productivity, I think it's really good.
As long as you're honest with yourself, I think that's the main thing. Because I know when I did it, I was quite tempted to write down what I thought I should be doing rather than what I was actually doing. So you have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And what we'll do, all these links that we've mentioned to all these networks and events and things, we'll put them on a post, probably on the Freelance Folk website, so that you don't have to be scribbling down frantically whilst listening to this podcast, especially if you're driving. Yeah. Don't write and drive, folks.
I have a question for you. I know that's probably not what I'm supposed to ask you a question, but I saw online that you've recently had I guess it's a credit card called Coconut, but I've heard so many good things about this.
They're amazing. So, basically they are, if anyone's heard of Monzo, who are kind of a challenger bank, in inverted commas, and they're just trying to kind of create an alternative to the traditional high street banks, which are very formal, very much based on kind of paperwork and bureaucracy, and you know, it's really hard for you to do the things that you want to do. So Monzo are a bank based around an app for individuals. Coconut is basically equivalent for businesses. So it's an app designed specifically for people who are self-employed.
Right.
And you apply via the app. You don't need to fill in loads of paperwork. You don't need to send off bank statements. You identify yourself by recording a video and saying who you are to confirm your identity and like take a photo of your driving license. And the really kind of unique thing about it is that when you spend something on the card, it will then automatically appear in your bank account in a category. And you can put things into categories,
That's great.
It will then tell you, as a rolling estimate, roughly how much tax you're going to have to owe at the end of the year
amazing.
As well.
That sounds great.
And they've just launched it at the end of January, and they're really receptive, and they're really building it in
that's
a way
really
where
good.
They're engaging with people and finding out what people want from it. So they're going to add in invoicing and all kinds of stuff.
So
yeah,
are you in the testing period?
I'm kind of the very early beta user, because I'm a massive
beta
nerd
user.
About these things.
Yeah, no, I want to say,
love
a beta user. App.
Yeah, I'm a beta user.
How did you get involved in that?
I was looking for something because I banked with Barclays, who I hate with the passion of thousands of sons.
Don't we all?
Actually, it turns out Coconut's money is technically ring fenced by Barclays.
Oh,
but dear. But you know, the nicer interface. Mm. So I've been looking for another bank for ages, and I tried to set up one with another bank, and they just wanted my life story, and I'm not really a paper person, I'm a digital person, and they wanted me to print off all my bank statements and send them in for the last 6 months to show what income I'd had for the business, and they wanted me to have two separate accounts for Freelance Folk and one for my own business, and it was just, in the end I just thought, no, I can't be bothered, so I ended up staying with Barclays and just having rage all the time.
So how can I get onto this cooking?
If you go on their Facebook group, I think they've kind of paused taking on new people, but that's they've got a Facebook group. They've got a website which I think is getcoconut.com.
Yeah.
And then the Facebook group's called Coconut Bite.
But I think they're not, they're maybe because they're testing.
Yeah, I think they will be reopening it soon. And they're going to open it up to limited companies. It's just available on iPhone at the moment. They're going to do it on Android soon.
Yeah, because Monzo, I really like Monzo. I think it's great. So I can imagine that for a business element, Monzo hasn't got that.
Yeah, exactly.
I did extra tax bits.
And you'll be able to like export your data, so then you can see on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, it's basically invoicing.
An invoice for it as well.
Yeah, so. I saw that you can invoice. Yeah. I thought it's brilliant because it's a whole system.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really good.
So another thing that we wanted to include on the subject of like imposter syndrome and stuff, and celebrating failure. What are your favourite personal freelance fails?
I think running from the International Women's Talk, underselling myself is just a massive fail, just a general huge fail. So, especially at the start, I was really bad at it at the start. So
how much you were charging people?
How much I was charging people. I was always underselling my worth when I was charging. So that's something I've been trying to work on, but I think everyone does that at the start. And that's why, again, it's really good to be around freelancers because they can say, no, you need to be charging more. Trying to think of them. Yeah, I think that's my fail, really. Sometimes copy errors, and you see them on a thing, you think, oh, God. And then you have to bring the client and be like, so it's a slight error. So I've just learnt to like check about 10 million times to stop it. But yeah, that's probably another thing.
Yeah, we've all done that where something, I've sent it where things have gone to print before and you're like, but it happens. And plus when you're a one-man band as well, when you've read something so many times, you know, send it to mum and dad. Send it to mum and dad.
Which I do.
Yeah, same.
The thing is as well, what a lot of people don't understand is that there's a difference between a creative writer and an editor. There's a huge difference. And in traditional structures, a copywriter should have an editor, really, because you're not perfect. You can't be perfect. So now you have to do both roles as part of, you know, the package. It means ringing my mum often, getting her to check. But yeah, I think I read an article recently where it says, I'm a writer, not an editor. And it really sank in because it was what I've been feeling for a really long time without being able to properly understand why I've been feeling that way. So I think a lot of copywriters feel that way, that there's an editor role missing in the structure.
Mm.
And I think you've probably covered a lot of this already, but one of the other questions we wanted to ask Zara was, where are the good places to actually get support from, either in terms of knowledge and education and training, or just kind of emotional support or even financial support, if there's anywhere that you know of?
So I guess something that I think is quite good is the local councils at the moment. They're really trying to push startups and freelancers, and especially for young people. So I know in Tameside, where I'm from, they're doing a massive push to help young people understand how to create a business. So if you just look at your local council website or even ring them, I know that they'd be more than help. They really want to help anyone that wanted any more information. I actually know someone who works at the Tameside Council, and that is her role, to help young people start sort of businesses and get onto the employment ladder. So that's a huge thing that I think people don't really realise, that you can just contact your local government. I guess the things we said before, networking, Ipsy, Business Growth Hub, other freelancers, when you network, ask people questions. They never mind. Mm. I had someone before ask me a question and apologise while asking it, and it's normal. People want to help each other, so yeah. I guess... networking, support networks, local council,
cool.
And the other thing was, do you have any favourite freelance folks that you'd like to make comment on, or anyone that particularly helped you or done a good bit of work for you, or just favourite people?
So firstly, they're my clients, but still, Bamboo Manchester, I really, really like working for them. They're just such nice guys. Proper Manx, in the best way I could ever say that. They're my favourite, they're one of my favourite clients. they're just really easy to work with, they're really understandable. They're kind of the perfect embodiment of how modern companies should be working with each other. It's very open, honest and professional. Someone that I think should have a shout out and she's just started to freelance, but she's, I think, very talented. It's Anna Roberts. Anna Roberts Photography is her business name. I think she's a brilliant photographer and a brilliant illustrator, as we found out.
I know, she's hiding her light under a bushel there.
Yeah, so I think she's definitely someone to watch out for. You've been supporting her a lot at the start, haven't you, with her freelance journey.
Yeah.
So I feel like she should have a shout out.
Yeah, no, she's brilliant. And she's actually somebody who's, both her and Mark and Simon from Bamboo Manchester are very willing to, like you say, help other people. And, you know, when we're having our kind of freelancer get-togethers and co-working, they're always willing to chat about, she does a lot of Photoshop work.
Yes.
If anyone needs help with that, she's really happy to help them.
Yeah.
She did some free kind of profile shots for some of the people because she happened to have a camera with
her
and stuff. So she's really generous with the time, which I think is what a lot of people in the group are
definitely.
Which is why
it's about collaborating,
works.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
About exchanging services, but not just to do that, just to help each other out.
Yeah, there's no ulterior motives.
No.
It's just genuinely wanting to help other people because people have helped you.
Yeah, exactly.
I think as well with Mark and Simon, they've been doing web design for a number of years.
Yeah.
Now.
They have, yeah.
And they know what they're doing. They really know what they're doing. And there is a, like this morning when Mark came this morning, and just, of course, I'll come and take some photos. All the way in Media City when he lives in Bury, like, no problem.
Can we just borrow your microphone to record this podcast too?
Props for Mark, because it's been recorded
thanks,
on
Mark.
His kit. Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Well, we gave him a good plug. So.
Yeah. That's Bamboo Manchester, web design.
The best, the worst. And they do some great vlogs.
I'm not sure about their writer. and now the most important question. You are a food and coffee obsessed Manc, so...
That's the best compliment I've ever received.
So what are your favourite places or, new places or places you go to in and around the north for food and drink?
So as I explained to both of you before this podcast, I actually spent far too much time actually thinking about this. I've kind of done the hipster thing and got really bored with it and kind of went right back to trying to find like what is actually Manchester, not just what's chasing the hipster tail kind of thing. So I love Mackie Mayo, but I do have to say I love it, but it kind of made me have a hipster oldie. So I've kind of gone back to basics. So I really like Abel Hayward, the pub in the Northern Quarter. I really like a place in Tameside where I'm from called Brownton's Bottle Shop, which is just a really local, friendly beer and bar, which it's all about the ale and all about the beer. It's a really cool place. Food, Petra. I don't know if you know Petra.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just about the food. It's not exactly, I don't know how to say this. It doesn't look hipster. So it's really good Lebanese food.
Where is that?
It is opposite Oxford Road. The parallel road, to Oxford Road, near the university.
Okay. Upper Brook.
Bring your own drinks as well, which is always good.
Ah.
Yeah, Upper Brook
cool.
Street.
Yeah,
yeah. It's called Petra. It's really good. And then there's Siam Thai Supermarket, which is a supermarket and a restaurant, and it does really good Thai food. And I went to Thailand, and I think it's the same. There's Thai people that are cooking it, so you hope as well. But
it's not that it's not Thai food. But how they think Westerners want
it's just complete
Thai.
Like it blows your mouth off.
Yeah.
There's an interesting story behind them. So they got reviewed by someone from The Guardian. All of a sudden they have queues out the door.
That's when I went.
It's obviously in Chinatown in Manchester. And you can imagine the poor guy at the supermarket going, what's happened?
Yeah.
I don't think they realised.
That Guardian article, it was the best Thai in the north or something like that.
Yeah. It is hot, man. But
yeah,
and you're sat next to like the crisp aisle in this supermarket. It's really good.
You should
really
definitely
good.
Check it out. Yeah, really and I will say one hipster thing. Coffee, foundation. I love foundation. It's just, again, but it's more about the quality. It's the quality of the coffee is just really, really good. It's my favourite in Manchester. I'm obsessed with street food. So Grub Manchester is really good. Have you been? Did you like it?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's brilliant. So they're near Piccadilly. It was at Fairfield Social Club,
yes,
isn't it?
Which I love the name of it.
Yeah, and lots of little traders that keep changing, and it's great because it's all year round indoors. Mm. So
yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, I think I eat more street food than I do like actually on a table. Yeah, I think that's my list. I think.
Awesome.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to follow Sarah, she's at Fresh Inc. on Twitter.
Like creme fraiche.
Not for Reishi Inc.
This will be the first of a series of podcasts that Freelance Folk and Zifferblatt are going to do together. We're using the hashtag FreelanceUpNorth. If you've got any questions that you'd like to ask any of our future guests, or if you've got any recommendations for future guests, please do let us know. Other than that, anything else to add, Katie?
No, I think that's it. Thanks for coming on, and thanks Ben for collaborating with us to do it.
No problem. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Bye.